question, what exactly is a supply chain? Beyond that, why do supply chains matter to you? I ask these questions because A, I love supply chain. B, the concept of supply chain has never been more pertinent and vital than it is right now. And C, not many people know what the fuck a supply chain is. This was really apparent back in May. Here in the US, we were frantically trying to rebuild our strategic national stockpile to further combat the pandemic. And after weeks and weeks of reports of chaos behind the scenes, the president gave us this quote. These stupid supply chains that are all over the world, where you have a supply chain where they're made in all different parts of the world, and one little piece of the world goes bad, and the whole thing is messed up. I said we shouldn't have supply chains. We should have them, all in the United States. End quote, confused Nick Youngface. See, if you're not so sure what a supply chain is, you're not alone. You're in great company, actually. C-suites around the country, around the world, are getting their heads around what supply chain truly means to their business, some for the first time. Supply chain isn't sexy. It's never really been a glamorous, high-profile career path. And in this day and age, it's really become more of a black box to much of corporate America than ever, much less the consumer. And that's why I started this podcast, to illuminate the time-tested fundamentals and building blocks of an optimized supply chain, as well as the exciting new breakthroughs being made every day in artificial intelligence, robotics, automation, so much more. More than anything, though, I started this podcast to find other people like myself who didn't set out to be in supply chain, only to realize it's what you were built for all along. And that's probably a good place to start. From Phoenix, Arizona, my name's Jordan Dickerson. Welcome to Build Beyond Supply Chain. Hello! Welcome to the very first episode of Build Beyond Supply Chain. I'm Jordan Dickerson, your host, and I use that term very loosely. Head over to buildthepodcast.com to find out more about our podcast, why I definitely say I use the term host loosely, and just what we're hoping to do with Build in general. But let's jump right into the conversation we had for this episode. Here's my talk with the co-founder and CEO of Stored, Sean Henry. Well, Sean, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Build with us today. Sean, if you could just sort of let people know, those who aren't familiar with Stored, what you guys are doing currently in the supply chain space, but really, you know, doing a lot of cool stuff to really sort of transform the landscape out there right now.
Yeah, absolutely. No, Jordan, thank you guys so much for having me on. I've obviously been a fan of both the podcast, but also what you've done in the supply chain space across some of your different companies. So really thrilled to be here. But Stored, broadly speaking, really, I'll give you a quick overview on what we do. We're a digital distribution network. And what that means is we're both a cloud software platform for companies to monitor inventory levels, order management, connect your ERP or your order management system all through one cloud-based software for your distributed supply chain. We're actually backed by a network of logistics companies and supply chain services on the back end of that platform. So through our platform, you can access both over 500 warehouses across the United States that are all partners in our network, and also now over 15,000 carriers. And so companies leverage us for not only better visibility, but to coordinate their supply chain networks, whether that's direct to retail distribution, omni-channel channel distribution, or we even have customers who leverage us to set up in-town last mile distribution hubs across the United States. But our mission here at Stored, and how we like to boil it down, is we're trying to give shippers both the technology and the tools, but also the logistics network to really build and scale sophisticated and cloud-based supply chains. And so that's our mission at our core. And we've been going at it for about 4 years now.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you for giving us that background. Really excited to have you on. I've been a big fan of what you guys are doing. Actually, I remember the moment I discovered Stored. I was on a flight back from Nashville with my wife, and I was about halfway into my tenure at the last company I was with, a hospitality startup.
and we were really experiencing growth pains and we needed storage space so bad. And we had these little sort of garages out behind our offices in each market. And, you know, it was this long process of being like, guys, we're a bigger company now. And we have to approach what we're doing with something other than, you know, like U-Haul lockers. And I was just like struggling for some sort of a solution that I could get across, you know, to the people I worked with. Because it was just such a sudden change of needs for us, you know, really going from really sort of a light, almost like supply chain less company ordering everything from e-commerce stores to having to build it and move it ourselves. And so I was on this flight and I was literally like Googling just anything. I was like, there has to be somebody who has broken down this black box of you know, 3PL warehousing, you know, that I have struggled with at big companies, small companies, but like somebody helped me make this a little bit more digestible for the people I'm working with to be able to sort of make this next step as a company. So, you know, tell me how you originally came up with the idea for Stored to, you know, sort of essentially, you know, break open this traditionally black box that's really complex that so many companies need but don't know how to access. And, you know, guys like me are like looking for that solution every day. How did that hit you, you know, 4 or 5 years ago originally?
Yeah, no, Jordan, that's an awesome question. And thankful for you bringing that company to us to work with. And they've been a great customer ever since. And so I think when we think about it, we largely work with a lot of really large scale enterprise customers. We ship product for anyone from Dollar General to Advanced Auto Parts to some of the largest brands out there. But what gets us really excited is that we can leverage the same network for even the smallest startup merchants or startups and give them variable access to the same logistics system. Because with Stored, you can ship one pallet for one day in one of our buildings, or you can ship up to 10, 15,000 pallets for the next 5 years if you really want to set up a long-term distribution center in our network. And so that's what gets us really excited about working with brands like that and companies like and customers like yourself. But really, when I think back and what brought us to this market and kind of the aha moment in a way was I wish there was a bigger one. We ultimately just listened to customers and continue to iterate and try to map our product, our network, and what we can do for our customers against customer needs and really let them lead us into the future. But really, the backstory was I was working at this automotive OEM manufacturer. I was an undergrad at Georgia Tech studying business. I was studying operations and supply chain management. Really interested in the field. I had done importing and exporting of both electronics parts and automotive parts, both in high school and in college. And so I understood logistics. I understood the import-export process. But it wasn't until I worked at this company, Huoco Group, in Germany, that I really started to understand the problems that them as a mid-sized manufacturer faced, and then started to realize that applied not only to them, but to the smallest companies out there and to the largest companies out there. And what that looked like was, as a brand, we used over 22 third-party warehousers across the globe to hold our inventory and ship it out to our end customers. And our biggest challenge was that as we were trying to optimize our inventory levels and free up working capital by reducing our inventory levels, we just couldn't get a handle on it. We realized that in every single market, every one of those 22 warehouses was run by a different 3PL. And the problem that creates is really twofold. One is that the underlying supply, those logistics companies are hyper fragmented. So if you look at the US, for example, there's over 14,000 third-party warehousers. There's crazy amount. There's 535,000 warehouse buildings, but there's over 14,000 that operate as 3PL warehousing companies, third-party logistics. 4,000 of those are owned by 52 companies, the UPS, the FedEx, the DHL, the ones that require you to have a 4-year contract, $2 million a year of spend, 6-month implementation, the very high stakes. And then the other 9,600, 10,000 are extremely long tail of fragmented mom and pop, local and regional operators. And so you get into this common pattern of having a very fragmented supply of warehousing and distribution. But then the second problem is that you as a customer, your systems are disjointed from them. They're running their warehouse building off of a warehouse management system, which manages the inventory in those four walls. But you as a company, whether you're a small merchant, you're using a shopping cart, whether it's Shopify or something else to manage your sales and your inventory and your orders. A mid-market company, you're using probably an ERP at that point, or all the way up to an enterprise who's running off of a mix of either multiple ERPs, an order management system, a TMS system, a lot of different supply chain tools. And so the two main fundamental problems we faced when we were trying to operate a sophisticated logistics network was, one, how fragmented it was, and then two, how disjointed the systems were. And that's really where we came up with Stored. We said, look, if you look at the landscape, all of these 3PLs, they want more volume. They have latent capacity. They're great operators and they're great business owners, this long tail of small and mid-sized supply. What if we can go partner with all these companies? And essentially what we do is we integrate to their existing warehouse management systems, or we give them our software to use as a supplier for Stored. We sign them to service levels of what we can expect, that we can give those service levels of on-time delivery, of insurance rates, of damage and error rates, and everything back to the customer, very standardized across our network. We like to say that we try to be the Starbucks. We want the coffee to taste the same every time. We want your experience with our warehouses to be the same across the board. And then we ultimately sign them to pricing so that as we build volume in the network, we can get economies of scale. So then we go back to brands like where you were, we can work with those companies and ultimately say, hey, through one single partner Stored, through our online software, you can variably gain access to our distribution network, whether, again, you're shipping one pallet for a day or 10,000 pallets for the next 5 years. And so we really launched that about 4 years ago, and it's really just been scaling up and adding more and more complexity to that network as we've worked with larger scale brands and more complex distribution models where we'll have some customers who can be doing as basic as overflow from one of their manufacturing sites of just a few hundred pallets in and out, to customers that are doing really omni-channel fulfillment operations where we're holding bulk inventory in some markets and we have last mile fulfillment centers that those distribution centers are feeding locally for optimized last mile shipping time and cost. So we've really scaled up the complexity, the network, the software capabilities, and the types of customers we've handled over the last few years. Since we faced those challenges ourselves while I was at that automotive manufacturer.
Very cool. It's an amazing approach, a really innovative approach, and one that, just reflecting on my time in CPG, because I want to move ahead to what you just touched on with the last mile fulfillment and sort of where you guys are heading, what you guys are already doing and the new capabilities you've added. But I'm curious in terms of, you know, you mentioned having 22 third party, storage partners at that company where this hit you. When I was at Kraft Heinz, I managed North American warehousing for a little under 2 years. And the first year, or my first week, I started with this flash drive of 40 gigs of contracts that were across our storage. I knew DHL from like working at UPS during like college in the summers, but I didn't know like what a 3PL really was. And I get these contracts and they're across 23 PLs. And some are 15 years old, some are 4 years old. Some of them have, you know, were evergreen and were 13 years old or 13 years into something. And it was just like having to like, you know, it was like Pac-Man working through this network that I had to corral. But it wasn't until about a year later that I got down to that tail of the spend. And we had probably another 20, partners that were, you know, one location, two locations doing incredible work. But, you know, by the time I got out there, they're still on paper. It's four or five people. And it was just, they were some of the most efficient people that I worked with, but they were somewhat invisible from a network perspective inside, the 73rd floor in Chicago. And it was just a striking disconnect. What was it like for you initially going out to, you know, what was your initial supply and, you know, talking to those warehouses, those first ones on board, what was that like? Did they get it right off the bat? Was it like, my gosh, this is what we've been waiting for? Or did that disconnect they'd been experiencing with people like me, like sort of, apply itself to what you were trying to bring to them as a solution?
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. We've seen that exact same kind of take from a lot of really large CPGs out there. Something I've noticed is that as you get to the very largest companies, a lot of times they actually do work with the small and regional 3PLs when you'd think they only work with the biggest ones out there. And the common answer they'll give is ultimately that they feel like they get the best attention and the best service levels and the best operations. And that's something that really we're passionate about here at Stored, is that we're empowering these small and mid-sized businesses. They're our partners and they power us, and we couldn't survive without them. But it's a really mutually beneficial partnership, because we're taking someone who maybe has one warehouse location, a few dozen employees as a small operator, and saying, hey, through our technology, our sales and operations teams, our integration capabilities, we're going to bind you into this national network where you can operate with a lot larger customers and the proverbial cleaner freight than you might be able to get on your own from those large brands. And so these partners really get a lot of value out of being part of our network and working with us. And it's something we're really passionate about, is working with all these small businesses. But you're really spot on with what we faced at the company I was at. It's really the same thing. It was that we had these 22 3PLs, and in one market, I'm calling a Kuehne+Nagel, some of the largest freight forwarders out there, for example. In another market, it's really just a small facility, someone who has a building, and I'm calling them, and it's just the owner calling me back a few hours later saying, I can read you off your inventory right now. Why do you need a spreadsheet report? So it's this very long tail of supply. And really one of the first things that Jacob, my co-founder, and I did when we were launching was we thought we were going to start on the supply side. We locked ourselves in a room almost literally and called over 500 warehouses for a week. We had a mentor early on, and who's now an investor through a fund called Dynamo, and said, you guys got to get really good at cold calling if you want to build a large business here and get customers and start to get traction. And so we just sat down and called over 500 warehouses that first week. And
wow.
So for this day, we had one that said they didn't want to work with us. And it was a shock. They said they had a painful experience with freight brokers who had tried to leverage their facility in the past and just put crazy margins on their existing infrastructure and not know how to operate it, because it's really hard to broker warehousing versus freight. Freight is something that picks up today and drops off tomorrow or same day. Warehousing is ongoing inventory balances, dozens of orders a day, cycle counting, case picking. It's really hard if you don't have the technology in place. And so that's something that stuck with me, because through a platform like Stored, you're trying to re-intermediate, not through a brokerage approach, but through a platform approach where you're giving both the supply and the demand better access to each other. And so we started calling in all those facilities, and you're exactly right. It really just clicked with the warehouses. These are people who are saying, hey, I've been competing with the largest companies out there, the XPOs and the UPSs, for years and years and years. All the investment is just my own. I'm trying to find my own demand, find my own systems. I can't pay $1 million a year for a Manhattan Associates cloud warehouse management system. I'm paying $2,000-$3,000 a month or a quarter for a tier two, a tier three warehouse management system. If I can leverage someone like Stored for better data about where customers have volume, better customers and more customers and volume into my building, better systems, this makes sense. And yeah, sign me up, because at the end of the day, these partners are people who we're paying a lot of money on behalf of our customers every single month. And so we really tackled the supply hard up front, and then went really heavily after the demand and after all the different brands, really just scaling the volume so that we could continue those great partnerships with all the different 3PLs in our network.
Phenomenal. No, that's really awesome how you guys went after, you know, the supply first and making them feel, you know, sure in that. Cause that's, you know, people like me as, you know, buyers and that sort of thing on the CPG side, and those big companies, we put so much pressure and leverage on those people, so often not understanding just how difficult it is to get that job done. So it's really cool to see a company really championing that side and really leading to more of an equitable relationship. Because I think that was, for me, just being on that side of it, that was the hardest part, was just it being a day-to-day friction with people who are fighting for the same thing you are, which is to get your product out on time and take care of it. So I'd love to hear now, you guys have, you know, scaled your company. You guys are working with massive customers. And now you guys have acquired Cove Logistics earlier this year to add, you know, a ton of carriers to your network as well, on top of, like you mentioned, that the 500, the 500 spaces you already had on the warehousing side. So tell me a little bit about that acquisition, if you could, and just what that's going to add for you guys moving forward, and, you know, how you guys see your capabilities changing, maybe even already being, adopted now with COVID really, really, placing huge new demands on companies every day.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit a lot of the great points already, which is that as we really kept working with these larger and larger scale brands, it was becoming almost table stakes to be able to manage the freight for them. You think about it, almost everything going in and coming out of our warehouses, at least going in on the inbound side, is shipping there on a truck, is going through a mode of freight. And most of the things in our network are shipping out on full truckloads or LTL today, rather than parcel. We're really scaling up parcel, especially with the acceleration of e-commerce right now. But so much of our volume, since we started with a lot of these large scale retailers and CPGs, was freight in and out. And we were looking at it very heavily and saying, okay, this is an extension of our platform. This is part of the value chain we want to get involved in for our customer base. But really what it was is that one of our goals over the time is really we want to abstract the shippers from all the choices they have to make on a day-to-day basis. That could be anything from looking at your network with you using the data in our platform. So we tell customers all the time, hey, you have this much inventory in New Jersey, you're shipping it out, but based on your historical customer demand and your historical costs, you'd either save on transportation or save on inventory holding costs if you move that inventory over to Philadelphia. And we can do that in our network tomorrow. If you want to start diverting those orders, yes or no? Well, can we actually help you ship that and help you move that inventory? So one of our goals is whether it's rebalancing of inventory, shipments to the end customer, where we can cut out dock door waiting time, we can cut out the manual steps of having to go find another carrier to book it. We can really help be the orchestration layer. And it's really hard to do that if you're not involved in the movement in and out of in between the locations. And so I'd say it's a mix of that. And also as we get into more omni-channel operations, as e-commerce accelerates, we have a lot of these large scale distribution centers holding larger amounts of products for customers now, that are then shipping regionally to either last mile cross docks or last mile fulfillment centers more in town or regionally. So call it you have one or two bulk warehouses and then four or five smaller fulfillment centers. Our customers really needed us to be able to move the inventory between those locations. And so we just saw it as an extension of our platform and also of our service offerings with our customers to get involved on the freight side. We kind of went through the build or buy motion of, one, we really wanted all the historical data on pricing, on lanes, on modes, on customers, and we got 9 years of data doing it through an acquisition for starting from scratch. We also got an amazing team of logistics experts, people who are regional vice presidents at UPS Freight, for example, and a lot of great experts on that team. And we've just seen so much traction right away from our customer base, and it almost multiplies the revenue expectations for us and our warehouse partner when you do the freight in and out. But that's the benefit to us. But to our customer, it cuts out so many manual steps. When your warehouse is doing your freight as well, you have not only aligned incentives, no one's charging you for dock waiting time, no one's calling you saying, where's this building? It creates a lot of synergies that save the customer a lot more money. And so it's a mix of network orchestration as well as being able to take the customer out of those decisions and just drive them more and more efficiencies. And so we've seen our customers really, really rapidly uptick their shipping volumes with us in and out of our warehouses ever since that. And it's been a really great success so far.
Very, very cool. I mean, I have to imagine that, you know, especially over this last couple of months, as so many companies have just had to throw their supply planning and demand planning out the window for the foreseeable future, having that ability to your customers will leverage that data in real time to say, how do we react to something that's literally happening to us right now? And it might be different next week. So, you know, are you guys seeing, you know, what are you guys seeing in the market from a customer standpoint in terms of, you know, the people that are reaching out now, as it really gets even harder and harder as we go forward to predict the future for, you know, products, brands, all of that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I would say, as we think about both the timing of the acquisition and the launching of freight services at Stored and COVID broadly, and kind of all the different disruption that's caused across supply chains, it's really created a rapid acceleration for us and our business in a lot of ways, both originally, right when everything was starting to happen, because companies were looking at kind of one of two things, either all of my inventory just sold off the shelves and I need to forward stock a lot of products very fast, or two, hey, my stores just closed down. I'm no longer shipping into my stores and I still have all this volume coming from China or overseas or off my manufacturing lines and I need somewhere to bulk hold all that inventory. So we saw these two immediate impacts of either you're a large retailer, a large clothing brand who your stores are closed and now you need a lot of bulk distribution, a lot of bulk space, or two, companies like a Dollar General, whose inventory were selling off the shelves, and they needed to really rapidly deploy more inventory, more freight volumes to meet all that customer demand. And so I would say it's just been a really large accelerant to the market right now on something like Stored, because shippers are looking at us and saying, how can I leverage a networked approach to not have these failure points? One of the benefits of working with us is we like to think about ourselves internally, a lot like Amazon Web Services on the digital storage side. You as a customer, you don't really care or know when you're utilizing AWS, because you're going to spill over to that next server at your peak season if you go over capacity. Well, with Stored, quite the same. In your traditional 3PL, you're limited to whatever footprint you signed or the footprint of their building. But as customers' supply chains have really accelerated, a lot of them have had to go from, I'll take one customer who went from 6 warehouse locations with us to over 14 over the last 3-4 months as their inventory has sold rapidly due to a bunch of Amazon volume they've been facing. And so it's really just been a large accelerant where companies are looking for, how can I leverage a platform and a network like Stored for more resiliency, redundancy, and also visibility just in case either anything happens like this again, or so I can keep up with my demand right now. And then we have, of course, had the proverbial right now, just a ton of different hand sanitizer, PPE, and different equipment related to this being shipped through our network by different brands as well.
Very cool. No, that's awesome. Really excited to see, you know, what you guys do moving forward. Would love to, you know, have you come back in the future if you have the chance to let us know, you know, what's going on a few months from now, because I know a ton's probably going to happen here, you know, in the near future. So would love to, you know, before we wrap up, we always wrap up with 3 best practices. So essentially, you know, for me, just from a motivational standpoint, I've always been a big music person. So I always love to ask people, you know, what music gets them fired up, what music gets them, you know, motivated when it's just been a draining, you know, 70-80 hour week. You know, what's your go-to meal, you know, when you've got to get pumped up for a meeting, whatever it may be. And then ultimately, how do you sort of decompress and unwind after all that work? So what's your, you know, your favorite pastime or hobby to decompress? So, you know, pump up music, pump up food, and then how do you, you know, de-pump, I guess, they'd say.
Yeah, no. It's pump up music, pump up food, and then the last one is how do I relax?
Yeah, yeah. How do you, you know, sort of get ready to do it all again the next day?
Awesome. Yeah, so I guess on the pump up music, I'm a big listener of like the brain food and all the other kind of deep music on Spotify that gets you very focused and very in the zone when I'm working or I'm getting ready to work. So I'd go with anything in that category. I'm also a fan of a lot of different rap and hip hop. I cannot deny. So that always gets me pumped up. If I go on the food side, that's a good question. I am an incessant coffee drinker and it constantly needs to stop. So that always helps on the pump up side. But my go-to is any Mexican food. I just cannot resist whatsoever. I will eat it for 3 meals a day if I could. And my girlfriend and my family try to get me to stop, but it's incredible. And then finally on the relaxation side, I think it's all just about having a really healthy work-life balance and just the sense of not necessarily, oh, I have to have a strict cutoff time, because trust me, as a founder of a business, I work way too many hours a week. But I mean that just in the sense of just people around you that are hyper supportive of what you're doing and hyper involved emotionally and partnered with you throughout that. And so my girlfriend and I have been, coming up on 5.5 years at this point, and she's just, especially during COVID, as we're kind of locked down and quarantined, just it's always great to decompress, walk through the day, binge something on Netflix, and start it all over the next day.
That's awesome, man. No, that's awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time. Know you're a busy guy, you know, running a company that's growing very, very fast. So we really appreciate you coming on Build, Sean, and best of luck with you and Stored moving forward.
Yeah, Jordan, thank you so much for having me. And thanks for all the kind words about Stored and what we're building, and looking forward to coming back in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sean.
All right, there you have it. Our conversation with Sean Henry from Stored. Really, really appreciate him taking the time. So big thanks to Sean. Big thanks to you for listening. Big thanks to Marley Quinn, my co-producer and audio engineer supreme. Next week, we've got a special episode to help kick off the NFL football season. How is that already here? We've got Reggie Prevail and Jalen Holmes from the Minnesota Vikings. They're co-founders of a startup trucking firm called Beast Coast Trucking. Really excited to share that discussion. But until then, be safe, be well, take care of each other, and always, always keep building. Later.